I'm going to be preaching from Galatians chapter 3 tonight. Now, Paul had finished asking the Galatian church, five questions to shake them out of the charming spell that they had come under by the legalist who spoke to them with good words and fair speeches, and they somehow convinced them that Christ was not enough, that the blood of Christ wasn't sufficient to save them or to make them righteous, but that they needed to add something to Christ's work. And it began for them with circumcision. That was the beginning of their undoing what they had heard, their falling away from Christ. And Paul had asked them in verse 5, this last question, he said, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit," he that is serving you and stands before you, teaching you the Word of God, so that you are blessed and comforted by God, that you have been given His Spirit, whereby you know God and understand the things of God and believe on the Lord your God. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you," so that you have a demonstration that God is, and you have a demonstration in your hearts of who Christ is and what He does for His people, how that He is our life and all our salvation. "He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And if you look at verse 2, the question there is similar when he asks, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Did that man ministering to you get up and teach you the law? And is that how you believed on Christ? Is that how the Spirit of God came upon you when He got up and told you what He did that day? How that He was moral and that you need to be moral and what you need to do? Did He get up there and explain to you all the works that He had done and then say to you, I don't think I broke a commandment today. I think I was pretty good." And you were impressed with that so that you followed Him? Is that how you received the Spirit of God? Is that how you came to a knowledge and understanding of the Lord? "Are you so foolish," verse 3, "having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" You didn't believe on Christ by the hearing of the law, by the preaching of the law, by works of the law. God didn't bless you and give you His Spirit because you were righteous in your own ways and by your own works. That's not how the Spirit was given to you. But the Spirit was manifested in you. The life of Christ was manifested in you. The love that God has for you was revealed in you by the hearing of faith. Meaning that man preached to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He declared to you what God has done. How that God will be gracious. Gracious to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is the will and purpose of God for His people, to be gracious to them and not deal with them as their sins deserve, but to show them mercy in the putting away of their sins. And He saved them by Christ and revealed this to them, made it manifest to them through faith, because they heard what God had done for sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ, in offering Him up, sacrificing Him to the Father to put away their sins. And they heard that word, not as it were with the ear of flesh, but with the hearing of faith. They were given faith in that hour by the living God, by the Spirit of God coming upon them and revealing all that God had done for them in Christ through the preaching of the word. And they believed. They were overcome with the faith of God and believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be righteous? Would you be holy? Would you be perfect and accepted of God? Do you want to hear God say to you in that day, the day of judgment, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy kingdom. Enter into my kingdom. Enter into thy rest. My kingdom prepared for thee from before the foundation of the earth." Justified. Would you be justified as righteous and perfect and holy and spotless as the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you be holy? The Spirit here says, then be like Abraham. Be like Abraham. Believe God. Believe God. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There was an accounting done. And God says, he's righteous. He believed me. Therefore, he is righteous. Because he's righteous, he believes me. Because I've revealed my faith, my life, my love in him. And I've declared to him that I'm going to bless him. And all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed in him as he is through faith. Through faith. So that God, that word accounted means imputed. God imputed righteousness to Abraham because Abraham believed God. And that's what our Lord does through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ, the Son of God, took upon him flesh, and he came and fulfilled all the will of God. He fulfilled the law perfectly. He obeyed the Father's voice, the Father's word, the Father's will perfectly in all things, fulfilling all righteousness, so that he was a perfect sacrifice, a perfect Lamb of God, without blemish, without spot, not having any bones broken, no deformity, nothing wrong. He's perfect. And he willingly went to the cross for his people to lay down his life, to make an atonement for our sins, to pay the penalty that we owed to the law for our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions and our trespasses against God. And he paid the price with his own life as our sacrifice, as our surety, to make an atonement unto God, to reconcile us to God, so that God is no longer angry with you that are in Jesus Christ. With you that come not in your own works according to the law, but according to faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing all that your God has declared to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that when Christ died, because Christ died, he is righteous and he has made his people righteous who died in him, who were crucified with him, who were buried with him. When he rose, we rose. So that he's all our righteousness. And he's accomplished all these things for us. So that his righteousness is imputed to us. And what that means is God looks upon us and says, "You're righteous. Therefore, I impute righteousness to you." Meaning Christ made us righteous by all that he did for us who have no righteousness of our own, but now are come seeking him for mercy and grace. Do you believe? Abraham believed. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, verse 7, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. They which are of faith are the children of Abraham. There's many people who are descended physically from Abraham. But Paul says here that those who are of faith, having no ability to trace any physical lineage to Abraham, because they can't. Because for many, there is no physical lineage. Yet they are children of Abraham, as manifested by God, by the faith which he's revealed in them, to believe God, to trust God, to believe the Son of God, to believe that he laid down his life for me. And so these are children of Abraham, believing the word of God, who first trusted Christ, who said, I've prepared a people for you. I've given you a people. Will you go and save them, redeem them, purchase them when they fall, to make them your own, to do all things for them? And Christ absolutely, willingly agreed to do it, because he loves you, because he loves his people, he loves his bride, and willingly went to lay down his life for them. And so it says now in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, here's an amazing thing. It says the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached. The scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham didn't have the scriptures written. The scriptures were written, the earliest of these scriptures were written, as far as we know, by Moses. Those were the earliest writings, was recorded by Moses. And Moses came after Abraham, around 400 plus years after Abraham. And yet the scriptures preached the gospel to Abraham. And that gospel Abraham believed. Where's this? Let's go over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, in the first three verses. Let's read them. Now the Lord had said. What a glorious picture. The scriptures are the word of God. And the word of God was with God in the beginning. The word of God was with God, and the word of God was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the word was made flesh. And here before he came in the flesh, he appeared to Abraham, and he preached the gospel to Abraham. I'll never look at the scriptures when I see the scriptures say the same. It's the word of God. It's Christ who testifies of these things. It's the Spirit of our Savior who has spoken this word and led his prophets and his people to write these words under the inspiration of our God. And the Lord said, verse 1, unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All right, go back to our text in chapter 3. Christ preached the gospel to Abraham, and Abraham believed God. He heard the promises of God that God would bless him, that God would provide for him, that God would do all things necessary for Abraham and for his life and for his salvation, that he would provide everything necessary. And Abraham believed God. We read of God also, we read of Abraham in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. A chapter of faith. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These are the works of Abraham. He believed God. He trusted God. He walked by faith. He walked being alive by the Spirit of God, and he walked by faith so that God was pleased with Abraham, and God blessed Abraham. And God promised that all who bless Abraham, they would be blessed. And all who curse Abraham, they would be cursed. And here's a strange thing, that so many of Abraham's physical descendants who claim Abraham as their father and are so confident that they are the children of God because they are physically descended from Abraham, and they put all their hope and confidence in that, and yet they curse Abraham. They curse Abraham. And God says, I won't bless them. I'll curse them who curse you. You know, those who are of faith, as Paul said here, know, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's blessing Abraham. And here's how. Because we're of faith. We have no hope in our works of righteousness. We have no confidence in this flesh. We're not looking to the law for righteousness. We're saying, Abraham, I agree with you. I'm with you. It's by faith. It's by the promise of God that he blesses his people. I bless you, Abraham. I agree with you, Abraham. I believe the word of God, which he's spoken to me concerning his son, Jesus Christ, that I have no righteousness of my own, but that he's all my righteousness. And the Spirit of God, look at verse 22, Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded, the word of God hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Our God has testified to us that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. We're all gone out of the way. We've all gone to do our own thing. None of us seeks after God. And when we preach the law and speak the law and tell others what they need to do and how to get themselves saved and to be righteous and sanctify themselves and justify themselves before God by the works of the law, we're just spitting poison at them like an asp, like a poisonous snake, a viper. We're just biting and devouring with the law and just sinking our fangs with poison into them and destroying them. It's not by the law. It's by the hearing of faith that our God saves us by his son, Jesus Christ. And those who hear the word, those who hear the voice of the Son of God, preaching to them, speaking to them through this word, through the scriptures, preaching the gospel before to them. They hear it and they believe because they hear it with the hearing of faith, and they believe God. They trust God. They know that God is true, and that's blessing Abraham because they're saying, that's my part too. I believe like you believe. I don't have any confidence in this flesh. I've heard the voice of God, and I believe. I believe him. And those who curse Abraham say, what? Faith? Faith? How about works? How about what I'm doing for the Lord? I've got to follow the law for my righteousness. I've got to look to the law. That's my rule of life. That's how I'm supposed to live. I've got to keep the law. And they slip their neck under the yoke of the law, and they listen to those who beat them and whip them and drive them hard before the law. With the law. By the law. And they say, Abraham, I have no part with you. You're wrong, Abraham. You were wrong for believing God. Because there's something more. There's the works of the law. You forgot about that, Abraham. And that's cursing Abraham. And God said back there in Genesis 12, verse 3, that's what he said there. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Those who believe God, like Abraham, believed God and rested from all his works, rested from his labors, rested from trying to please God, rested from trying to work off his sin debt and his transgressions and trespasses, and believed God and said, Lord, cleanse me with the blood of Christ, save me, so that God reveals in his people his salvation. We see this over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Abraham had the gospel preached to him by the word of God. And you that are gathered here this night have the gospel preached to you by the word of God. And here's what the word of God says to us. Paul writes it in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us? Our God, the power of God, hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. You that look to the Lord Jesus Christ have been called with an holy calling. When Peter wrote in his epistle, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, and there when he said, and the Lord God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The flesh, the man of flesh, the carnal man hears that as a command. But the child of faith hears that as the promise of God, revealing his will. Be ye holy is the will of God for my people, as I am holy. And so he sent his son, who is the perfection of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, to make his people righteous, perfect, holy, because that is the will of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's how we are made holy. And this is a holy calling. And I'm not going to say it isn't. I'm not going to say that the preaching of Christ isn't holy, because our God says it's a holy calling. He calls us by faith, unto faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness and our holiness and our peace with God, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had purposed to be gracious to his people, to justify the heathen by faith, to justify us sinners who don't deserve mercy, who don't deserve compassion, but to justify us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Just like we see that distinguished, I'm coming back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, but in Romans 9, we see the distinguishing grace of our God. Beginning in verse 11, Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth with an holy calling. He's calling you in Christ, by Christ, to look to his servant whom he sent and accomplished the salvation of his people. Did exactly what he set out to do. Did exactly what he promised to do. It's a holy calling. And God makes his people righteous because it's his will, and he makes them righteous by the blood of Christ. Do you believe God? Or do you call God a liar? Do you bless Abraham and say, Abraham, I agree with you. We're saved by faith. Or do you curse Abraham and say, no, 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 you've got it wrong. You forgot the law, pal. You needed the law. That's how you're righteous. But God justified Abraham. He gave Abraham circumcision while he was yet without circumcision. And he believed God. And that's when God counted him for righteous, as righteous. Not after circumcision. If it was the works of the law that saved us, he wouldn't have been accounted or imputed righteous because he wasn't circumcised yet. At that point, all he did was believe. He believed God. He trusted him. He believed him. And so we're saved. We're blessed with Abraham through faith. Through faith. It was said unto the younger, unto her, unto Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth. It's not by our free will. This will, this faith in God is not of this flesh, because this flesh is evil. It's corrupt. It's defiled. It cannot produce that which is acceptable and pleasing to God, which is faith, which faith is. Nor of him that runneth. It's not by our works in the law, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for the same purpose I raised thee up. Our God is showing us and demonstrating to us that he saves by grace. That he saves by his Son. And he reveals faith in us. All right, back in verse 10. But is now made manifest. So 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest. That's how we know that we're the children of God. It's manifest in us by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. That appearing there, brethren, is speaking to Christ's resurrection and his resurrection glory, his resurrection power. The life which he has is the life which is given unto us to raise us up from the dead and to give us life, spiritual, eternal, everlasting life by the Son of God. It's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's his resurrection, and I know that because you see it repeated a number of times in the Gospels. After that, Christ arose. I'll show you Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Those men on the road to Emmaus. Afterward, verse 14, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Luke 24 says that he appeared unto Simon. The Lord is risen. He's appeared unto Simon. So that this appearing is speaking of Christ who rose from the dead. And by his life, by which he rose from the dead, that is the life which he gives to you through the preaching of the gospel and makes it manifest in your hearts through faith that you are the children of God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have faith. You wouldn't believe. You wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't bless Abraham. You'd curse him and say, nope, that ain't it. That's not the truth there. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So that God, who shined in the darkness, our God is in the business of shining into the darkness and giving life, making manifest that which wasn't there before. And our God, who hath shined in the darkness when he spoke the worlds into existence and the heavens and all that in them is, that our God hath shined in our hearts, our dark hearts, our dark corrupt hearts, our dark corrupt dead hearts, spiritually dead hearts, which did not know God. God has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not in the face of Moses, in the face of Jesus Christ. And you that believe him do manifest that you have heard his word by the hearing of faith. And you believe his word and trust him as your Savior, as your peace, as your reconciliation with God. So then, Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Do you bless Abraham? Because verse 9 says, you're blessed with faithful Abraham, you that believe. And you that curse Abraham, it's because you're trusting your own works and you don't look to Christ and you don't believe Christ is sufficient, that he's your righteousness, that he's your all, and that God is satisfied with Christ and satisfied with all who are in Christ. They're cursed. But you that believe are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts. Amen.